بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيقول الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه الأدب المفرد باب عقوق الوالدين باب عقوق الوالدين الإمام البخاري رحمه الله he mentioned in his book الأدب المفرد the chapter disobeying the parents the chapter of disobeying the parents again we benefit from the understanding of الإمام البخاري نستفيد من فقهه رحمه الله تعالى Where is the fiqh of Bukhari at? In his works Where is the understanding that Bukhari has in his works? In his books of hadith How do we know what he understands from these narrations and what he intends by mentioning them? في تراجمه نعم In the titles that he has mentioned If we look at the titles that we have studied so far, what have we seen? That he began the book about manners with the manners of the parents. Birr al-walidain. Being kind and nice and obedient to your parents. After establishing that general ruling, in the very first thing he did, he mentioned the virtue of that. And that is something that Allah loves. That is something that Allah loves. And then after that, he mentioned another chapter and he went specifically to the issue of the parent, the mother. He went specifically to the issue of the mother. And then after that, he mentioned also as well the specific narration, clarifying likewise the right of the father. And then after that, he mentioned to clarify how great their rights are. And the reward that they deserve and how could they be paid back. And the likes, we have seen that in the previous class. Now, he is discussing something that is opposite to all of that. Naam? Something that is opposite to all of that. Naam? الضِدُّ يُذْحِرُ حُسْنَهُ الضِدُّ وَبِالضِدِّ تَتَمَيَّزُ الْأَشْيَاءُ The people of knowledge, they mention these lines of poetry and they say, that the opposite of something clarifies the beauty of its opposite. And by understanding the opposites of things, the issues become clear. So if you want to know something, I need to make it in simple words, if we want to learn something properly, in order to understand it clearly, we should know the opposite of that thing as well. If we want to know what is the reality of up, how can you truly know what is up? By learning which way is? Down. If you want to know how you want to teach somebody right, and then okay, this one is right, and then how can you really make sure everything is right? This one is left, right, left, the opposite, hot, cold, opposites, up, down, good, bad, al Islam, who, al Kufr. So just like this, we want to understand the true Islam. We have to learn about we have to learn about disbelief. If we want to learn about Tawheed, what do we have to study also? Shirk, naam, and disbelief. If we want to learn about Sunnah, what do we have to study also? Bid'ah. Who wants to learn about Jannah? Who wants to go to Jannah? We have to learn the path to Jannah, right? But also we have to learn something else in order to get to Jannah. What is that? The paths that go to? The hellfire, the paths that go to the hellfire. Somebody might say, well, why do we want to learn about the paths that go to the hellfire? Oh, the billah, what's the benefit in that?
So you won't do that.
Ahsanti, Allahumma barak, Allahumma barak, naam, naam, Allahumma barak alaykum jami'an. Ayyuha al-tulab al-kiram, naam, awladi, al-kiram, barak Allahu fikum, wa waffakukum Allahu lil-ilm al-nafi wa al-amal al-salih. So that you won't follow those ways. So therefore we learn about the khayr, so that we can do it, and we can be upon it. And we learn about the shar, so that we can stay away from it. And we learn about the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so we can follow him. And we learn about the ways of the disbelievers and those who oppose them so we can stay away from them. We learn about the path of paradise because we want to go there and be on that way. And we learn about all the different paths that go to the hellfire, because if we fall on that path, iyadhan billah, it will take us away from the Jannah. So if somebody who does not know that this path goes to the hellfire, he might go down that path and not even know it. Some people, wallahu al-musta'an, they are going down the path of the hellfire and they think they're on the path to Jannah. Ah, وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ Nah, their deeds. Nah, عَمَلَ They think that they're doing good deeds, but they're not doing good deeds, they're doing bad deeds. Because they're ignorant, they don't know. They didn't learn the good and the bad. So just like a Muslim has to learn about good and the good manners, also we have to learn about the bad manners. Why do we learn about the good manners? So we can apply them and do them, and we can be upon them. Huh? Bi-idhnillah. Why do we learn about the bad manners? Huh? So that we can not do them, so that we can avoid them and stay away from them. So that we can avoid them and stay away from them. Type, if we get upon the good manners and we learn how to stay away from the bad manners, what do we do after that? We thank Allah. And we ask Him to give us steadfastness and to be firm and to remain upon that way. And then we start to help our brothers and sisters to have good manners too and to be upon a good way. And we start to help them also stay away from the bad things. Now, that's what we do. That's what we do. So we hear Bukhari, he's following this way. This is the way of the ulama, rather. This is the way of the companions, rather. This is the way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was upon. And he used to teach them about the good, and likewise he used to teach them about the evil. There was this one companion, he was very, very smart. All of the companions, radiallahu anhum, they're very smart. But each one of them had different specialty and characteristics. One of them, his name is Hudhayfa. Radiallahu anhu, you know what he used to say? Hudhayfa, he would say, oh, the people, they're always asking the Prophet about the good things, Jannah and the good manners and the good ways and the good deeds and the good speech. And that's good, but myself, I always used to ask about the evil because I was afraid that I would fall into it. كَنَ النَّاسِ يَسَلُونَهُ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي He used to say that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he used to ask about the evil. So we ask about the good, no doubt, but also we have to know about the evil so that we can stay away from it. So that we can stay away from it. Another line of poetry. If I tell you, you have to memorize it. Who's going to memorize it? This one is beneficial. عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ I learned about the evil, not for the sake of the evil, but so that I can be aware of it, so and I can be protected and safe from it. Because whoever does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into the evil. Like I mentioned, some people, they don't want to do evil, but because they don't know what is evil, they do it. Even some of them, they do it and they think it's good. نَمْ عَرَفْتُ أَشَّرَّ لَا لِشَّرِّ لَكِنْ لِي تَوَقِّيهِ لَكِنْ لِي تَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ He will fall into it. Now, so here we go. Following this way, بَابُ عُقُوقِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ The chapter of disobedience to the parents. Disobeying the parents. Why would we want to study this chapter? Why do you think Al-Bukhari, he mentions this chapter now, rahimahullah? So that we can see it. وَلِيَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ So that the way of the evil people and the criminals can be clear for us and we can know it and we can see it and stay away from it. We can see it and stay away from it. نعم باب عقوق الوالدين الإمام البخاري رحمه الله he mentioned the chain of narration to أبي بكرتة رضي الله عنه. And he said, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر ثلاثا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to them, he said, should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? Three times. Should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? Should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? Three times he said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that do whenever you hear somebody saying it three times? Huh? What do you start doing? What do you start doing?
Pay attention.
Uh-huh, but also what does your heart start doing? Your mind start doing? Should I not tell you about the greatest major sins? Should I not tell you about the greatest major sins? What are you doing now? You're paying attention and you are? You're waiting and you can't wait to hear what's next. This is a good way to teach. This is from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, we begin with that. What methodology and teaching is this? Who knows? As-su'al wal-jawab. Asking a question and giving the answer. Should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? That's a question. But whenever you get asked a question in the form of teaching and education, it makes the student pay attention and wake up. And also it makes them excited and ready to hear the answer. And this type of teaching helps for the student to memorize and to remember and not to forget. قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. They said, of course, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال, the Prophet, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ishraku billah. Al-ishraku billah. To associate partners in worship with Allah. Well, that's the first one. وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. That's the second one. What do we notice here? What do we notice here? Think about what we have studied so far and some of the best points and benefits that we have learned in this chapter thus far, huh?
Disobeying your parents is very, very bad.
Disobeying your parents is very, very bad. But where do we get that from? What is the first thing? Should I not tell you about the worst, the greatest of major sins? Ishraku al-ishraku billah. And after that, immediately what? Uquq al-walidain. What was the first hadith about whenever we're learning about birr al-walidain? The first hadith. Ya Rasulullah, ayyu al-amali ahabu ila Allah. What are the deeds that's most beloved to Allah? What were they? When? As-salatu ala waqtiha, aw salatu li waqtiha, aw salatu fi awwali waqtiha. Naam. Whose right is that?
Allah
is a wajan. And then after that? ثُمَّ أَيْ بِرْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. How did Allah mention in the Quran the right, the obedience to the parents? How did it come mentioning? Just did Allah just begin mentioning the parents straightforward, or did He mention something before that?
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ.
Many, many verses Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned the right of the parents, but before that He mentioned His right. And we learned before that that indicates the great right of the parents, that He coupled their mention with the mention of His right. We remember that? So now we're going to the opposite side of that. The major sins, the greatest of the major sins, the first one is the opposite of قَالَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. The opposite of that is to make shirk with Him. Instead of making tawheed and giving Him His right and worshiping Him alone, to share His right with another, from love and from hope and faith and trust and reliance and from ibadah of the heart and of the body, any act of worship that is established, if it's directed any part of that to other than Allah, this is a type of shirk. This is shirk, iyadhan billah. That's the greatest of the major sins. And then after that, عقوق الوالدين. So it's contrary, the exact opposite of what we have studied with regards to بر الوالدين. Now when we study بر الوالدين, we were reminded that this is the right of the parents that Allah has given them, and Allah's right is first, and that obeying them is for the sake of Allah. Now we see again that from the greatest of the major sins is to, rather the greatest major sin is to associate partners with Allah and then to disobey the parents. And that means also disobeying the parents is really disobeying Allah. Is really disobeying Allah. Now, disobeying the parents is really disobeying Allah. So here he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ishraku billah wa 'uquq al-walidain wa jalasa wa kana muttaqiyan. He says here, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he said, and then he sat up and he was leaning back. Wa kana muttaqiyan. What does muttaqiyan mean? Leaning back like this. Hadha al-ittika, like this, to sit in a relaxed manner. Or to lie down on one side, or put one's arm down and to relax like this. That's called al-ittika'. Naam, so he was sitting in the relaxed form and he mentioned this and that, and then he sat up. Huh? And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala wa kuruzur. Huh? Wa ma zali yukarriru wa ha hatta kultu laytahu sakata. Ala wa kuruzur, ala wa kuruzur, ala wa kuruzur. He would say it many times and he kept repeating it over and over until they felt bad for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying, and also, false testification. False testification. To say that somebody saw something, they didn't see it. To say that somebody did something, they didn't do it. To testify against somebody and it was not true. Or to testify for somebody and it's not true. All to lie and to say something about somebody, and this is specifically with taking somebody's right by way of that. To qawl az-zur, to mention a statement that's a lie in order to take a right of somebody, of a believer or a person, this is very, very bad. But we see, what is the shahid from this hadith? What is the shahid from this hadith? Many benefits we see in the narration. But what is the point for al-Bukhari mentioning it in this chapter? Disobeying. Ahsanti. Allahumma barik. Disobeying the parents. So this is from those the great, not here, not from the major sins. We see in one of the companions mentioned that making the parents cry from disobedience was a major sin. That was one of the statements of one of the companions. Who was that? Ibn Umar, sah? Huh? Was the hadith or the athar, al hadith al mawquf, huh? Of Ibn Umar, sahih? He came. Taysala came to him. Naam? Tayyib. Now we have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying that, but there's an extra benefit here. Not only is disobeying the parents a major sin, but rather it's from the most major. Huh? It's from the greatest of the major sins. He said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Akbar. Not the kabair only, but akbar al-kabair. Another benefit from this is we see that, as we've seen before, the sins are different levels. And different ranks. And there are major sins and there are minor sins. And even from the major sins, there are some that are greater and greater and more severe, even from them. You understand? Akbar al-kabair. So some of those other sins, likewise, that was discussed previously, those are major sins too. But these are from the major, major sins. Question. How do we know if a sin is a major sin? Are there any signs? Is there anything that we can determine that this particular sin is a major sin from another sin? Yes. The answer is yes. The ulama, they mention, and particularly, it has been mentioned in a very, very famous book about this issue. It's called Al-Kabair by Al-Hafidh Al-Dhahabi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. He died in the year 748. And he is the student of? Tirmidhi, he died in 279. 500 years later. The student of? Remember, there was Al-Dhahabi, Ibn Qayyim, and Ibn Kathir. All three of them were students of? We study this in Seerah, in the introduction. Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Dhahabi has a book called Al-Kaba'ir, The Major Sins. In the beginning, he mentioned the statements of the ulama with regards to identifying major sins and to being able to determine and tell if it's a major sin or not. And the scholars have mentioned and clarified that if there is a threat of a punishment, if the sin is mentioned along with a threat of punishment, then that's a major sin. Or if the sin is mentioned along with the threat of the hellfire, and the hellfire is mentioned along with it, or supplication against him, wail, like this is a major sin. Or if also the person is being cursed, may the curse be upon that person, or the curse is upon this person. Now, it's a major sin. So like this are some of the ways to be able to tell if it's a major sin, if there is a punishment mentioned for it, or in the hereafter, or the fire, the threat of the hell fire, or also if there is a punishment in the hereafter, or a punishment in this life, or if there is a head is a legal punishment in this life for somebody who does a sin, and he is convicted in the Muslim court, then if there's a specific prescribed punishment for that sin, that's a major sin likewise. That's a major sin likewise. Like stealing. Stealing has a prescribed punishment. Those who are caught stealing. What is that? If they steal a certain amount. And they're caught in a Muslim court. They cut his right hand off at the wrist. They cut his right hand off at the wrist. For stealing. But you know what happens? If that's in effect, do you think many people steal? No, nobody's going to steal. If one foolish person steals and he gets his hand cut off, everybody's going to see him and be like, man, I'm not stealing nothing. I need my right hand. You can keep that stuff you got over there. Because that's the thing about these punishments. They're called zawajir wa jawabir. Zawajir, meaning that they prevent. They're preventive. They're intended to prevent people from falling into the sin in the first place. So if there's somebody walking around with only one hand and everybody, what happened to him? What happened to his hand? Oh, he was stealing. You think that the rest of the people are going to be stealing? No. Nobody's going to be stealing after that. So then it's very beneficial. This is the deen of Allah. But this is not something that people establish here in America or here in the masjid. This is something that is established in the Muslim land under the command of the Muslim ruler. So this is something that should be clarified. But the point is what? If there is a legal punishment for the action, it's a major sin. If there's a mention of the threat of the hellfire, it's a major sin. If it's a mention that also the anger of Allah, غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَنَهُمْ, the anger of Allah is upon them, it's a major sin. Or if there's a curse of Allah is upon them, it's a major sin. We understand that? Or the threat of a punishment, or an عذاب from Allah, it's a major sin. These are major sins. So this is something that we should not take lightly. Something that we should not take lightly. طيب, we've seen before that the minor sins, likewise, that's lesser than that. The minor sins are the sins that are lesser than that. But there's something that we should know about minor sins. And that is that the good deeds wipe them out. Alhamdulillah. The good deeds, they wipe them out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-jumu'atu ila-jumu'ah. Wa ramadhan ila-ramadhan. Naam. Wa al-umrat ila-umrah. Mukaffiratun ma baynahunna. Majtunibat al-kibair. Naam. The one who prays Jumu'ah to Jumu'ah, the next Jummah, it erases all the sins that happened between the two of them. In Ramadan, the Ramadan, whoever fasts Ramadan properly, then all the sins he did that whole year is wiped out by fasting the next Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. And whoever makes Umrah, the next time he makes Umrah, everything between the two Umrah, is wiped out. But this is the minor sins, not the major sins. This is the minor sins, not the major sins. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this is the case so long as the major sins are avoided. Meaning that if somebody did not stay away from the major sins, then his good deeds will not wipe out the bad deeds. They stay there. So how about the major sins? The major sins do not go away, except in one case. Somebody could do good deeds, but they do not. Prayer and salat and charity, it erases the bad deeds, the minor bad deeds. The major bad deeds, they only go away one way. What is that way? At-tawbah. Somebody has to repent for them. Huh? From the major sins, disobeying the parents. From the major sins, disobeying. From bel min akbar al-kibair or ruquq al-walidain. So if somebody disobeyed their parents, if somebody made their mother cry, if somebody made their voice, they said oof to their mother, or even worse than oof, huh? Then what? That means that this doesn't go away. This stays, and unless you repent, you ask Allah to forgive you. That's why when we began these classes, one of the first and most beneficial points that we learned, that obeying the parents is what? Birr al-walidain is deen. It's deen. It's from the deen. This is from our religion. It's for the sake of Allah. It's ibadah. It is done seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory and mandatory upon the people. So then we do it for the sake of Allah. And then if we do not do it and we disobey them, that's disobeying Allah. And it's a major sin. And it can only be removed by asking Allah to forgive us. So if we fall into that, we have to say, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, oh Allah, forgive me. Atubu ilayk. I repent, please accept my repentance. Guide me and help me to be obedient to my parents. Naam, a believer, he wants to be obedient to his parents so that he can be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. So that he can be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. We see that the author, he mentioned another narration in this chapter, but we suffice with one. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.